And good morning. It's 8:30 in the studio. With me, I have Sam. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great, sir. And Jason, welcome.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing actually pretty good considering the lack of sleeponitis that I've got. 3 o'clock. Did you guys get that little zing this morning at 3 o'clock for the tornado?
Woke the whole family.
Oh, it was loud. Well, man. But it was it's a coffee day. What can I say?
Yeah.
It's a big coffee morning for me. Sam's back with us again from out of town, so welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Yeah,
appreciate
I've been
that.
Traveling a lot. It was 3 degrees up in northern Michigan on Thursday when I was there. And
So now you're back, and you're bringing it down to 35 degrees here.
It was a lot
Thank
better
you,
when
Sam.
I got back here.
Oh, by the way, we haven't said, but it's BitWizards, the tip of the wand this morning, our show going on. So let's go ahead and just get started, shall we?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, let's do it.
BitWizards, Bits and Bytes.
What do you got for us this morning, Sam?
So our Bits and Bytes section is where we talk about tech news that we think applies to the people who are listening, especially small, medium-sized businesses. And the big one in the news that I saw this week was that Ring camera doorbells, they make doorbells and just internal cameras for your house for security, that there was a big news article that they were breached this week. And there were two incidents that happened. One was in Mississippi, where someone had managed to hack into their Ring camera, this family's Ring camera. They don't had it for 4 days, and they had put a Ring camera in their little girl's bedroom so that they could keep an eye on their kids remotely kind of thing. Well, this person hacked in and started talking to their little girls, which of course freaked them out very much so. And then there was also an incident in Florida where someone also did the exact same thing, got in and started yelling racial slurs at a family in southern Florida through their own Ring camera system. So this is kind of been going around a little bit because a lot of people do have Ring doorbells. They're very, very popular.
Right.
Only like $100 or $150. They're not super expensive to be able to have this intercom at your house and be able to see who's at your door and everything. Very popular. I have one. I think you have one, right,
Jason? Yeah, I think we all figured out that we have one.
Of course you guys
yeah.
have one. You kidding me? You guys are all techies. I'm sure you got all the latest and stuff. But anyways, that we were talking about how you could get around that to prevent that.
Oh, absolutely. Because even though this made really big news, because it is a little bit freaky, you got your little kids in the house,
very disturbing.
And somebody jumped in, it turns out that they weren't hacked at all. What had happened is, in both of these cases, the people who had set up their Ring account had just used a password that they've used elsewhere or one that had already been leaked on the internet to something else. And so all somebody did is they went online and found where this family had used their email address and their password. And they weren't just targeting this specific family. They were just looking for anybody. And somebody wrote a little program. And what it does is it just keeps testing Ring's website with different username and passwords that they found elsewhere. It's just kind of going through this long dictionary of usernames and passwords. You can buy the program for like $6 on the dark web. So they can guarantee you you'll find your way into somebody's Ring account for $6. But the way it works is they're just looking if somebody's already been breached. I know T-Mobile had a big thing where their user data was breached, or the Home Depot famously, or Target. All of these people have had this thing where like, oh, sorry, everybody, your username and password has made it onto the internet. And most of us just really think, oh, well, that really stinks, and then that's about where we leave it. Well, what had happened is someone was taking this treasure trove of usernames and passwords and trying them on Ring's website, and every now and then one of them would work. And as soon as they got into Ring's website, at that point they were able to then log in, see any of the cameras, any of the doorbells, all of that kind of stuff, which is a little scary because I believe Ring also makes a smart lock system where you can unlock the door remotely or relock the door.
So that would make it even worse because if they found out where you lived, they could unlock your door and help themselves.
Right. And I was actually guilty of, you know, using the same password about 6 years ago. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the site. Have I Been Pwned?
No, I haven't.
So you can go
what
on
is
this
that?
Website. So it's IAMPWNED.com.
Oh, okay.
You can punch in your email address and it will tell you if you have been a victim of a breach.
Okay.
So like your Capital One card, your account, things like that, if your information's out there on the dark web. Well, if it is, you should really take a look at changing your passwords.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I went through and I changed all my passwords. Well, I made the same mistake and changed it all to a different password, but it was all the same across the board. So, you know, and this is 5, 10 years ago when that was the mindset. Like, let's just make it really complicated. Well, that doesn't work anymore. Because if you get one of my passwords back, then you would have had access to everything.
I think a lot of people probably do that, yes, because it's hard to remember all those passwords.
It's extremely difficult. Well, it used to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what Ring are really asking people, and Nest is the same way. You may have heard of the Nest thermostats, where you can just tell your Alexa device, set the AC to 72 degrees, and then your wife says set it to 75, and then you say, no, set it back to 72. Yeah, right. You get to go back and forth. That's
your
a fun little game.
Furnace blows up.
But Nest does the same thing. Ring are doing the same thing. They're all asking, when you log in, please set up two-factor authentication, which all it means is asking for your cell phone number. So you put in your username and your password like you usually do. I would still recommend resetting that password if it's something you've used elsewhere, and create a brand new one and save that. But then it asks for your cell phone number, and it sends you a quick text message with a little code in there, six numbers. You punch in those same six numbers into the app so that it confirms, yes, this is definitely you. And now anytime someone tries to log into your account from a different device, it's going to shoot a text message to you first and just say, hey, we got the right username, we got the right password, but before we let this person in, let's be smart about this and just make sure that it really is you. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, this happens to me every now and then, where I'll get a little pop-up on my phone telling me someone's logging into my account and they have the wrong password, but they tried it, and I'll get an alert about that. Or sometimes it may be someone's on my computer at home or something, and they try to get in, it'll pop up and say, are you going to let them in? And I don't accept it at that point because I'm not there to see the login. But that second two-factor authentication is a really big deal. Now, there's one other...
That sounds really secure.
It does, because if someone wanted to hack into your account at that point to look at your video cameras in the house or whatever that is, they would not only have to be able to find your username and your password, they would also have to somehow get access to your phone at the moment that they're trying to log in, get the code off of that phone, because that doesn't go anywhere else, and then somehow remove any trace that happened at the same time to be able to get access to it. And then even then, if they were able to log in that way and somehow sneakily get in, for them to even be able to change the password to something they want it to be, they would still have to re-authenticate again with your username, password, and another one-time code that would be texted to your phone. So it makes your account a lot more secure. Now, what this breaks for a lot of people is they like to share their account. So I want Granny to be able to see the grandkids, so I send her my username and password to get into the Ring doorbell system. And so they have systems for this in place where you can share your account without having to give up your username and password. All it does is send Granny an opportunity for her to put in her own username and password to pick it, and then she would see your devices. But it's better than actually just giving somebody else that same username and password, because it wouldn't be any good to them anyway once you've got it set up to where you have to log in with your phone.
Okay, right. I see that. So, you know, actually, I have my insurance with USAA, and every time I go in there, they have to do that authentication for everything. So that makes me feel pretty good that it's secure. So if Ring does the same thing, people should really take advantage of that.
They should, but it's not set by default for a lot of different services and accounts. So you actually have to turn it on.
So you have the option to use it or not use it.
Correct. And, you know, we always say, you know, security is not convenient. And you know,
that's true.
It just isn't. So, I mean, you have to pick and choose really your battles. Do you really care if anyone gets into your Facebook? I personally don't. So I don't have it turned on Facebook or something like that. But for all my bank accounts, my credit card, my Amazon, anything that's important to me, I don't let Google save my password in the Chrome browser. I have a extremely unique password, and we'll get into, you know, exactly how we do it.
I gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. And what sounds to me, though, honestly, like when you talk of Facebook real quickly about that, shouldn't put a lot of information in that anyway.
No.
Right? Because they're watching.
Yeah. If it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
Bit Wizards. What's up our sleeve?
You got short sleeves on, so I don't know what it could be.
Well, we still got our magic tricks, as usual, since we are wizards. But I thought, you know, today, since we're talking about the Ring breach, even though it's not really a breach, but it is definitely a big vulnerability everybody should be aware of, I thought it'd be a good opportunity for us to talk about passwords in general, because they're the bane of everybody's existence. If you work with a computer, you have to have all these different passwords. And so there were some studies out there, and I went and had a look at some of the studies, and I thought I'd pull in just some of these statistics real quick. And it says that on average in America, for every email address that you have, you probably have about 130 different services tied to that email address. You might sign into your bank with it, to your Facebook account, to social media, or you signed up for that one-time deal online, or you went to a convention and they asked for your email address and now they have it. But for every email address, it's about 130 different accounts attached to it. And of course, nobody is out there trying to remember 130 different passwords. And so because of that, about 20% of people are still using the same passwords they were using 10 years ago, which is probably most of us, right? And and half of us are using the same passwords that we invented over 5 years ago. So that's over half of the passwords out there. We've been using them for 5 years straight without anyone actually doing anything about it. They said they did a survey of office workers and they found that 71% of regular office workers were willing to give up their password for a bar of chocolate.
You're kidding.
So they did
a little
bit
of hungry people out there.
A little bit of social engineering here, I'm sure. But in some blind testing, they were able to get over two-thirds of people to give up their password willingly in exchange for just a piece of chocolate. And so they say 50% of all employees write their passwords down. Their work passwords are written down somewhere. I live and breathe the IT business, and I see it all the time where I see sticky notes on people's monitors or under people's keyboards or labels all over the place on a monitor that says, here's the username and here's the password. Yep. To get in. And so I see this a lot. And over a third of people say that the password they use for work stuff, that they've actually shared that with someone else at some point because they needed to give someone access to something. And so they just went ahead and gave up that password. So it really brings up the question, why would people do this?
Yeah. So, I mean, as the employee, you know, we're forced to change our password frequently. We get annoyed with that, you know.
We have to do it here as well.
I just remembered that password. So what normally ends up happening is, you know, I'll make it like password 123. Okay, I got to change my password. Okay, so password 456. So and you build on that. So with a password manager, you know, is these newer thoughts, these newer processes that are out there. We use one, and we're not, of course, a sponsor or endorsing them or anything like that, but we use something called LastPass. LastPass takes care of all my passwords, and all I have to do is remember a very long password phrase, something like, you know, I'm making it up. This isn't my password. Please don't try it. You know,
disclaimer.
Like, the duck quacks when it's wet, and there's spaces, and I'll put an exclamation mark at the end or something like that.
Okay.
And it's my password, but it's all I have to remember is that password. And then I log into that with two-factor authentication. It's secure. And then that thing remembers these complicated 64 character passwords going forward that I couldn't remember even if I wrote it down. I'd mess it up.
Still punch it in wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so long.
So every time someone calls me up or I get a notice on my computer at work, it's, hey, it's time to change that password. It's no longer an issue. Okay, log into my my password manager, generate a new password. It remembers it for me, and we move on.
Okay, that sounds good. Instead of trying to think up all these different passwords and trying to remember them, and then if you can't remember, where do you write them down? Where do you put them so that it doesn't get in the wrong hands at some point?
And that's where that password manager comes in. It's a piece of software that goes with you everywhere you go. It's on your laptop. It's on your cell phone. It's everywhere. And all of your passwords are in this one app. And so the only password you have to remember is how to get into this app because it creates all the other passwords for you. So I couldn't tell you what the password is to my email because I didn't invent it. I let my password manager invent the password for me. Okay. In fact, some of them like LastPass or 1Password or even intelligent enough that you can tell it, you know what, every 2 days, go in and reset my Facebook password for me. Mm-hmm. And it will log in as you. It will go ahead and create a brand new password. It'll change it to that and it'll save it. And then every time you sign into Facebook, you don't have to worry about it. You just tell LastPass, hey, go ahead and log me in, please, or 1Password or KeePass. There's a lot of different password managers out there, but they do quite a few different jobs. But one of those is coming up with some very unique, very complex passwords that no human being is ever going to guess. It makes them one-time use only. So it will warn you if you've used a password twice. It'll say, hey, just so you know, you've used that for Facebook and Netflix and your bank.
Yes.
And that could be a problem. And it's going to warn you that. But so then it also stores all of those passwords to the point where you never ever have to worry about them. You never think about what they are. They could be 50 characters long. I don't know. And just a jumble of letters and numbers.
That sounds great.
And I never had to see it or touch it or anything at all. All I had to remember was my one password to get into the password manager itself. And they let it handle everything from there.
It's all accessible from any device, it sounds like, too.
And any hacker that's just trying to do that, you know, trying to find my password or Sam's password by brute force, by just going in there and punching in passwords. It's just not
going to never going to find
they're
it.
Never going to find it.
Because it sounds like they're long and they absolutely mean nothing. Just a whole bunch of gibberish.
That's exactly right. In fact, a lot of people don't know this, but actually the length of the password is the most important thing, not the complexity. So we feel like we have to take a normal word and swap out some letters for numbers because, I don't know, we could say, I'll use an at symbol instead of an A, and the hackers will never guess that. And if I put an exclamation mark at the end of it, they'll never guess that. Or if I'll swap out an S for a dollar sign, they'll never see that coming. And so you end up with P, at symbol, dollar, dollar, W, zero, RD. And it's just password with a couple of letters swapped out. And we think, oh, the hackers will never guess that.
Boy, am I slick.
So exactly. The kind of code I'd put on my luggage. And so what these password managers do is they create it a little bit longer. And so the reason why is there's several ways that our passwords fail. I mean, one of them is that someone just guesses it. So you named your password after your dog and your kid and a few birthdays, and it wouldn't take anyone but a few minutes of looking around your desk or your cubicle and go,
or
oh,
Facebook.
I see. Oh, your Facebook. Oh, I see your date of birth, and I see these things, and I can have a stab at it and try to figure out what your password might be. Or, like we talked about earlier, it could be lifted from a dump where somebody else has already dumped a bunch of passwords onto the internet, and you just buy 10,000 passwords all at once for a couple of bucks, and you get to go through them and see if any of them are any good anymore. Or what Jason was talking about, sometimes there's a brute force cracker. And what that is a program that's just going to go through every single letter one at a time. It'll start with the lowercase a, and then a lowercase b, and then a lowercase c. And it'll go through, it'll exhaust all of those, and then it'll go, okay, now AA, AB, AC, and it'll go through, and it'll just keep going and going and going. And so, of course, that's for a computer, not the end of the world. You just kind of let it do its thing and leave it overnight. But if you have an 8-character password, it could probably crack that in a couple of hours just by trying every combination of every letters. So in less than a day, you could try that. But if you bump that up to 12 characters, now it doesn't take 8 hours. It takes 17 years. And if you bump it up to 16 characters, now it's going to take longer than the heat death of the universe because the way entropy works just by adding that extra character. So I always tell people, add spaces in your passwords if they allow for it. Definitely use spaces because it makes it easier for you to remember your password, because now you can do a passphrase, your favorite song lyric or a favorite scripture from the Bible or something like that that's meaningful to you that you're not going to forget. But make it nice and long as well. So it could be baby comma, it's space, cold space, outside, exclamation mark. Mm-hmm. That password would be almost impossible to crack because as it's trying to brute force it, it'll start with that B and the A and the B, but it's going to take forever. It's going to take centuries and millennia for it to get all the way to that it's cold outside exclamation mark at the end of it.
Right.
So that's the length makes a really big difference to it.
So and we work with our clients. You know, we set them up with an enterprise-grade password management for their whole organization.
Okay.
So, I mean, we help them secure their passwords in a secure portal that is almost impossible. I mean, pretty much impossible to break through. And if someone's doing it, we're talking about the NSA or the CIA here, because no one's going to have that time. No one's got that much processing power. Like Sam said, you know, it's going to be the end of the universe before they break into what we set these our clients up on.
So the bottom line is this. The BitWizards are going to help you take care of your passwords.
Absolutely. And we're going to try to make it a little easier on you as well.
Easier on you and tougher on the criminal.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's a lot of what we've got happening here is we laugh about it because we all know we're guilty of it. We all know we've got those same 3 passwords we use for everything. And one of those is my, oh, I don't care about it password. And one of those is my, it's a super secret password. No one can ever know this. But we're still using those passwords across the board. And so because we know this, we only know it because we're guilty of it. And so as I work with businesses and we start doing their IT, the biggest vulnerability to their company is an employee getting breached not a hacker trying to get in through their firewall from China and trying to you know, do this massive attack where they've got thousands of computers all over the internet trying to hit your firewall and figure out a way to get through it. It is so much easier to get on the phone with someone at the front desk and be very pleasant and charming and talk them into giving you access to something that you shouldn't have access to. And so having complex passwords makes this so, so much more secure for your business, because if your employees are logging into their computers, but they're also using that same password for their Facebook or for their Target account, now they have made your entire organization vulnerable, because it only takes for Target to get hit one more time and those passwords to get out there into the wild. And while it's very convenient for your employees to just say, well, look, I have these same three passwords, they're fine, I've never had any problems with them, the truth is, if you look on one of those websites like Have I Been Pwned, you can see, nope, that password is out there in the wild. It's already been available to people for a long time, and they're already trying it in different systems. And now it makes your organization more vulnerable because you've got an employee using that password in your organization. So at Bitwizards, for instance, we use LastPass for the entire organization. We have a pretty strict rule that your LastPass password has to be the only time you use that password. You can't use that anywhere else in life. That's a one-time deal. You have to set up your two-factor authentication on that too. So when you log into LastPass to get all your passwords, it is going to pop up and say on your phone, are you sure this is you? And we confirm every single time, yep, this is still me, still doing this. But then the other part of that is that all of our passwords that we have, we keep in LastPass. So all of our clients, for instance, we could ostensibly do a lot of damage if someone got into our system, knowing that I have a lot of access to a lot of other people's computer systems. So it's even more imperative for us to be that much more secure. So if someone ever asks me at BitWizards, hey, what's the password for such and such firewall for such and such client? The answer is always, it's in LastPass. I would never message it to them. I would never email it to them. I would never text it to them, because I would tell them, no, go get it in LastPass. And that's one other beauty of these password management systems, is for about $3 a month, they're usually pretty affordable, you can have a company-wide password management system where you can have some stuff that is only HR and finance, only they have access to these passwords, mm-hmm. or some stuff where the entire organization might have access to. Let's say you need to store your Wi-Fi password in there and you want everyone in the company to have access to it, but you don't necessarily want people sitting out in the parking lot at 2 a.m. jumping on your Wi-Fi and having a little snoopy snoop around your network and see what's happening.
Yeah.
And so you put that in LastPass, and when someone says, hey, what's the Wi-Fi password? The answer is very easy again. Oh, it's in the password manager. You can go get it from the password manager. And so
that makes good
sense. We take it very, very seriously ourselves, but we also, for our managed IT clients, we help them get their things set up. So one of the first things we do when we onboard a new client is we go through and we start changing passwords, which is frustrating sometimes for people, because they're like, oh, I've had that password for forever, and I know that password, which is part of the problem. And so one of the things we do is we don't hide those passwords from the client at all. Those are their access to their information, but we want to make sure we're setting it securely and locking it down so that they're not going to be vulnerable to a breach at that point.
Sounds like a good philosophy. Love that idea.
BitWizards from the spell book.
Sounds like a witch stirring a pot.
Well, for our spell book, I thought, you know, a good term today, you may have heard it, it's sort of been a buzzword around the internet for a few years, is IoT. It means Internet of Things. So you may have heard of IoT devices. And I thought this is a good time for us to talk about it, because a Ring doorbell is an IoT device.
Okay.
So it's a good example of that. There are all kinds of fantastic uses for IoT devices, and what they all are, they're all a small device with its own little computer, and it is managed 100% by the internet. And so an example of that would be when my thermostat at my house, my Nest thermostat, when I tell it through my Amazon Echo device and I say, hey, set the temperature to 72 degrees, it's not talking to the thermostat. It's talking to the internet. And then it's talking to the Nest system on the internet, and then the Nest system on the internet is talking to the thermostat in my house and saying, what's your temperature right now? And set it to 72. And then my thermostat says, that sounds good. And it sets it. And then it goes back up to the internet, relays that back over to Amazon. Amazon relays that back down to my Echo device and says, hey, I set the temperature for you, which seems cumbersome. It seems like, well, it's right there. They're like 6 feet apart. Couldn't they just talk to each other? No. But the whole point of that is that you can take these things and move them around, and they have their own access to the internet. There are all kinds of fantastic use cases for this. I was at a Microsoft event, and they were designing an IoT device for trash cans in airports, because there's so much wasted effort with the janitorial staff having to go around and check to see if a trash can is full or empty or not. And so they said, we've discovered that if the door on the trash can swings open, I don't know, 170 times, by the end of 170 times, we know it's more than likely full. And so they'd have an IoT device on the little swingy door on every single one of those trash cans at the airport that's talking back to the cloud, talking back to the internet, and it will alert the janitorial staff when a trash can has been opened 170 times, so they can go get that, and it immediately makes things a lot more efficient and a lot cleaner.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I'm a big nerd. I know Sam's, you know, right along with me, but IoT is, everything's becoming connected now. I mean, heck, my dishwasher is connected, and I have an app on my phone. If I'm over at Publix picking up a frozen lasagna, I can pull out the app, scan the barcode, the app goes, oh, okay, and it starts preheating my oven on the way home.
Okay. We're living in the future.
We are. And I'm just like, where was this, you know, 20 years ago?
Do you have the one on the refrigerator, too, that tells you what food's in your refrigerator or whatever
I'm
it is?
I'm working on my wife. So.
Christmas is coming.
I'm like, honey, we need a new fridge.
That's crazy. I love that. My wife would love that. You know, for like a frozen pizza or something.
Yeah.
Like, hey, well, let's scan this baby. And because she's calling me if she's out shopping and I'm home. Hey, would you turn the oven on? I'm going to bring this home. But she could do it herself, and then I could keep watching football.
It absolutely.
Wonderful. So.
Yep.
Oh, so that's cool.
Just at my house, I have cameras, multiple cameras. I have a thermostat. I have a doorbell. I have Amazon Echo devices, all kinds of stuff. They're all IoT devices.
You are wired.
For security's sake, though, I put them all on their own network. They can't see each other. They can only see the internet because that's all they're supposed to do. So if one of those was to ever get hacked, the worst it could do is set my temperature up too warm, right? It could never actually do anything else to the rest of my network. So I thought it's a good time for us to talk about the IoT, this Internet of Things. It's sort of a buzzword right now, but all it means is small devices that are directly connected to the internet, and they're getting all their information back and forth from the internet.
Would those games that everybody plays on the internet kind of the same thing? Is that different? You know, like Xboxes, when they're playing, you can play anybody in the country off of it.
I mean, that's going to be a different thing.
So well,
that's
okay. It's the same on the back end, though. So they're all going to this one big cloud service that's managing, oh, this person's coming in and he's playing Halo from Germany, and this person over here wants to play Halo from Seattle.
Yeah.
So we can use this cloud service on the back end. Microsoft really excels at this with their Azure service, and Azure also does their IoT, where you can have 500 of these small devices all talking to that same service in the cloud and talking to each other. We always wrap it up by giving a plug to one of our clients that we really appreciate. And so I was going to ask Jason if he wanted to talk a little bit.
Yeah, so we want to send a big BitWizards thank you and shout out to one of our customers, Fresh Start, for children and families.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. Fresh Start's primary focus is helping families achieve long-term self-sufficiency through a 9-month residential and educational program. Their mission is to share love and compassion through a comprehensive educational, vocational, and economic housing program to help homeless families achieve self-sufficiency. BitWizards provides managed IT services for Fresh Start. You can support their work at no cost to you by doing your Christmas shopping on Amazon through their affiliate link. Thank you to the whole hardworking team there for allowing BitWizards to serve you. We love working with you guys.
You guys are great. And we appreciate you. Sam, Jason, hope you have a wonderful Christmas. We're about out of time.
Merry Christmas.
All the best to you, too.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.